John chapter number 10, St. John's Gospel, chapter number 10. It is good to have everyone with us today in the house of God. John chapter number 10. When you find the scripture, just hold the place there. I want to make some comments before I read. In the preceding chapter, Jesus healed a blind man. A man that had lived in darkness all of his days, had never even seen the face of his mother, had never seen the beauty of a flower nor any of the handiwork of God. The trees, the fields, the mountains, nothing. Lived in darkness, and now the Bible says God has opened his eyes, and I imagine it was an exciting time for him and his family. Then because of his testimony and because his healing took place on the Sabbath day, the Bible says that the Pharisees, the leaders of that day, the religious leaders of that day, they were upset. They came to the man, and in the 24th verse of the last chapter, the 9th chapter, they said to the man that was healed, "Give God the praise. We know that this man," speaking of Jesus, "we know that he is a sinner." And I love the response that he gave in the next verse. He said, "Whether he be a sinner or no, I know not. But one thing I know, that whereas I was blind, now I see." Hallelujah. Pharisees thought they knew. This man knew that he knew. There are a lot of people that think they know. Think they know something, but I am glad today that we can know. I am not going through a long list, but I'll just start right here and then I'll come to the sermon. I know that I'm saved. How can you know, Brother Jones? Number one, I was there when it happened. Number two, it changed my life completely. Not just some imagination. Number three, from that day until this, he's kept me. According to his word, he's been faithful every step of the journey. I know. And the Pharisees said to this man, "Give God the praise. As for this man, we know that he is a sinner." And I thought, how many people today think that they really know something without knowing something? I mentioned this before. A man told me this a long time ago. He was saved in our ministry. He was called to preach. Now ministry, and he's going on to glory now, but he made a statement that he read somewhere or heard somewhere. He said, "The man with an experience is never at the mercy of the man with an argument." I'll use an illustration. God healed our son of a brain tumor, Mike, of a brain tumor. Not long after that, my wife was with him as they were visiting and knocking on doors in the neighborhood in a new church effort, and ran into a group of people that don't believe in divine healing. That is not for today. And she let them to know that you've come too late. God's healed him of a brain tumor. A man with an experience is never at the mercies of someone that just has a belief. If you're saved and you know it, say amen. And if you're saved and you know it, no one can make you doubt it. Thank God. Thank God. In this chapter number 10, Jesus is directing his remarks and statements to these religious leaders, the Pharisees, and the Bible tells me that they claim to be the shepherds of the people, and yet many of them have been leading the folks away, and I'm going to read from the first verse of the 10th chapter. Jesus says, "Verily, verily, I say unto you, he that entereth not by the door into the sheepfold, but climbeth up some other way, the same is a thief and a robber. But he that entereth in by the door is the shepherd of the sheep. To him the porter openeth, and the sheep hear his voice. And he calleth his own sheep by name, and leadeth them out. When he putteth forth his own sheep, he goeth before them, and the sheep follow him, for they know his voice. And a stranger will they not follow, but will flee from them or from him, for they know not the voice of strangers. This parable spake Jesus unto them, but they understood not what things they were which he spake unto them. Then said Jesus unto them again, Verily, verily, I say unto you, I am the door of the sheep. All that ever came before me are thieves and robbers. But the sheep did not hear them. I am the door. By me, if any man enter in, he shall be saved, and shall go in and out, and find pasture. The thief cometh not but for to steal, and to kill, and to destroy. I am come that they might have life, and that they might have it more abundantly. Thank God for abundant life. Amen, amen. Oftentimes, while ministering, Jesus used an object lesson. Now, we didn't have that when I was going to school, and when our children came along and grandchildren came along, they would have show and tell. We didn't have that. I don't know whether we missed out on anything or not, but we didn't have that in school. But Jesus used object lesson to get the attention of the people and to get a point across as to what he was trying to explain and what he was trying to teach them. And sometimes he was speaking of the fisherman that was casting a net into the sea, or a sower that was sowing the seed, or maybe a farmer that was reaping the crop, or something else along the way. And here he speaks of the shepherd, which was very common in that day in the land of Israel in the Middle East. In the evening, the shepherds would lead their flocks to the sheepfold. And there they would turn their sheep over to the under-shepherd. And they would go on their way. And the under-shepherd would have the responsibility of guarding the door to be sure the sheep are safe for the night. That was his responsibility. In the morning, the shepherds would come and they would call out to their sheep, and the sheep would follow them, and he would lead them into the pastures. In the first verse, the Bible tells me that during the ministry of Jesus, he oftentimes warned of false teachers and false prophets. And I thought, I want to stop right there for a moment. If it was a danger in Jesus' day, and he had the people to heed what he said about false teachers and false prophets, brother, I want to emphasize it today. Watch out. False teachers and false prophets around about. And Jesus was warning them, and he's warning us as well. Then notice he said in that first verse, the thief and the robber, they're seeking to enter into the sheepfold. And the Bible says, and I jotted this down, I'm not going to preach on it today, but I was looking through something this week and I saw it written down, some other way. I'm not going to preach that today, but that's what the Bible says in that first verse. He that entereth not by the door into the sheepfold, but climbeth up some other way, the same as a thief and a robber. And the world is full of folks just like that in our day. They want to be identified with the people of God. They want to have the blessings of the Lord. They want to go to heaven. They want to be approved of God. But they want to do it all their own way. Let me just throw this out today as well. If you and I, if we make it to heaven, and I trust everyone here will, if we make it to heaven, we'll have to go God's route. How many want to go on their own terms some other way? Let me read the third verse. To him the porter openeth, and the sheep hear his voice, and he calleth his own sheep by name, and leadeth them out. He calleth his own sheep by name. I have a question I would like to ask this Sunday morning. Aren't you glad that your name is written down in glory, and the Lord knows who you are? Amen, amen. Did you know that the Lord knew me when I went to that altar, and he knows me as his son today? I belong to the family of God. He knows his own, and he called his own sheep by name. He knows my name. In America, we have a practice of naming, giving names to almost everything. Have you got a cat? A dog? Pony, horse, mule, whatever. Even a cow we call Bessie. We give names, and some people might seem to be amazed, and when we call that name, they recognize their name. And in the Middle East, the Bible tells me that the shepherds gave a name to each of their sheep. Now, while we were in Israel, when we were over in Amman, Jordan, and some other places, we saw shepherds with, I'm talking about can you have a host of a flock? Or a flock of a host? A crowd. But they tell me that each one has a name. And they follow the shepherd. And I read a story about an American that was over there. Happened to be in Syria. We didn't make it to Syria. And while he was there, just vacationing and what have you, he saw some shepherds in the evening time bring their flocks to the brook to be watered, to quench the thirst. And they were intermingled around the brook. Some from this flock got into this flock over here and this flock over here. And when it was time for them to leave, the first shepherd cried out and said, "Mena." In Arabic, that means, "Follow me." And suddenly, all of those in his flock left the watering place and followed him. The second shepherd stepped up, said, "Mena," same word. And suddenly all of his flock began to follow, and he didn't even turn around to see if they were all there. He was sure that they were. An American was standing there, and he said to the other shepherd, "Can I borrow your turban and your crook? Will they follow me?" And so he took the turban from the shepherd and the crook in his hand, and he cried out, "Mena, Mena!" And not one sheep moved. And so when the shepherd cried out, "Mena," every one of them followed him. Listen closely. When he comes, and he cries out, I'll tell you who's going to hear. The saints. No one unsaved is going to hear the sound of the trumpet. It's going to be a sad day. Brother Lou, your prayer request lets me to know that God's working. Keep on praying. When your daughter went in the living room and saw your jacket lying there on the couch this morning, and first thing she comes to her mind, "I've been left behind. My dad is gone. I've been left behind." Millions are going to be left behind. But listen closely. Not a one of you need to be left behind. We can all be ready. Hallelujah, hallelujah. I can remember, it was 1967 in Bakersfield, California. We were pastoring in Arizona. We were there for a general youth conference. Bakersfield. They had teen talent and Bible quiz. A team from Virginia won the National Bible Quiz Championship from out in Dublin area. A boy had memorized the book of Acts backwards and forwards, and he was sharp. But they had the teen talent, and it's time for the teen girls to sing solos. And a girl began to sing, and I didn't know her, never heard of her. She was from Oklahoma. And she began to sing the song, "I Wish We'd All Been Ready." And the more she sung, it seemed like the more God anointed, "I Wish We'd All Been Ready." It's going to be wonderful when the Lord comes if we're all ready. Not a one be left behind. Thank God, thank God, thank God. Hear the shepherd and the sheep. In the fourth and fifth verses it says, "And when he putteth forth his own sheep, he goeth before them, and the sheep follow him, for they know his voice. And a stranger will they not follow, but will flee from him, for they know not the voice of strangers." And I say, amen.
There's a lot of good material in that. He goeth before them. How God leads. I've read in the 48th chapter of Isaiah, I am the Lord thy God, which leadeth thee. Hallelujah. He leadeth us by the way that we should go, the Bible says. I'm glad that that is true. The next part said, the sheep follow him. They that know the Lord will follow him. And it's my desire today to follow the Lord one step at a time. And if I will do that, one of these days I'm going to take the last step right into that land called glory. Then it says, they know his voice. They're close enough to hear the voice of the Master. And they know his voice. They know who it is that is speaking. And then he says they will flee from the stranger. And I thought, in our generation, we have parents and teachers that are teaching the children. And this is wonderful. This is good. Be careful. A stranger invites you to get in the car. A stranger offers you money or candies or whatever. Be careful. But let me say it today to us. Be careful. The devil will offer you a whole lot of things. Be careful. Be careful. Follow the Lord. Be sure that you're close enough to know the voice of the Almighty God. And then in the 6th verse, he says, the parable spake Jesus unto them, but they understood not what things they were which he spake unto them. So Jesus begins to explain in the next verses. And I'm not going to read them all, but I want you to notice something. In the 7th verse and in the 9th verse, Jesus says, I am the door. Twice. 7th verse and the 9th verse, I am the door. 4 simple words, and they have a lot of real meaning, and so I would like to take them. And I'd like to preach for the next few moments about what Jesus said. Number one, and I'll put the emphasis the first time, on I. Jesus says, I am the door. He was excluding all others. There's no other entrance into the kingdom of God. When it comes to saving man from his sins, Jesus stands alone. Only Jesus can say, I am the door. Amen. Yet through the centuries, and I surely don't have a complete list, but how many millions today, over 1 billion call on Allah or Buddha or some other religious leader. Some even worship angels or the Virgin Mary or some apostle. I want everyone to understand what I'm saying today. Jesus says, I. And there's no other. I am the door. Not Allah. And what is happening in America, I hope today that the whole world will understand. America has tried, the religious world in America has tried to make us believe that the Allah of Islam is the same Almighty God that the Christians serve, and they are surely not the same. Read it in their own writings about Allah. He's not the God of the Bible. And when I come to this part in the 7th verse, Jesus says, I. No one else. Put them all aside. Everyone. Joseph Smith. Anybody. Put them all aside. I am the door. There is no other entrance into the kingdom of our God. When it comes to saving man from sin, Jesus Christ stands alone. Only Jesus saves. Listen closely. According to God's Word, in the verses that I've just read, I in that statement is Jesus of Nazareth, the Son of God, the Christ of glory, the Messiah. We don't have to put anyone else in there. Please understand, Jesus was making it plain to the Pharisees and the religious leaders that I'm the only one. I am the door. When testifying of Jesus before the high priest and the high court, Peter said these words, for there is none other name under heaven given amongst men whereby we must be saved, but by Jesus. Jesus only. Only Jesus. Man's not saved by the church. Man's not saved by church membership. Man's not saved by water baptism. Man's not saved by partaking of communion. Man's not saved by tithing or giving to missions. Man's not saved by doing good works. Man's saved by Jesus and Jesus only. I thought about four outstanding men of the Bible. Adam. Said, Brother Jones, how was he so outstanding? He's the first man. He's the only man we have a record of that God breathed into his nostrils the breath of life. He became a living soul. He is the forefather of Saul, of us all. God thought so much of Adam that he gave him dominion over all. His handiwork. The animals, the birds, the fish. Gave him dominion over all before he sinned. Adam was great in the eyes of God. Fellowship with the Lord, but Adam could not save. I went to Abraham, a man that, man, I think highly of him. He's over yonder in Mesopotamia in a heathen land, and God speaks to his heart and said, Abraham, if you follow me, obey me, come with me, I'll give you land. Everywhere you put your foot, I'll give it to you, and your son, and your grandson, and your great-grandson, and all of your, all that's out there, I'll give it to you forever. Abraham was a man that's called a friend of God. A great man, the father of the Hebrew nation. But Abraham could not save. I thought of another great man in the Old Testament by the name of Moses. No one has ever, in my mind, no one has ever had been assigned a job like Moses was. I've even felt sorry for him. He'd pray and he'd cry out to God and God would bless him, and then they're ready to put him to death. Here's a man that was called to be the deliverer of the nation of Israel and led them out. And all that God blessed him with and how God used him and all the rest. But Moses could not save. The Bible says, Jesus says, I am the one. I am the only one. I am the Savior. And then I thought of David, that great king of Israel. There's been no greater. The Bible says of David, man after God's own heart, blessed of God, used of God, God gave victories everywhere. And when David retired as king and his son Solomon took the throne, David had defeated all of those around about and there was peace in the land. He was a warrior. He loved God. And yet David could not save. It's the Lord Himself. Who is the door? No man cometh unto the Father, he said, but by me. The second thing I want to mention quickly is, he said, I am. I mentioned the third chapter of Exodus just recently how that Moses was at the Mount Horeb and saw the burning bush, saw the bush on fire, and the Bible said he went close to find out what's going on, to see this phenomenon, and when he came closer, the Lord said, Moses, take off your shoes, you're standing on holy ground. And God began to speak to him out of the burning bush. Gave him directions as to what he was to do. And he said, now Moses, I want you to go back to Egypt. And I want you to tell the people that I'm going to bring them out of Egypt. I'm going to deliver them. I'm going to take them into a new land. I'll give it to them for inheritance forever. Moses said, now God, who should I say sent me? When the people asked, you've been gone for 40 years and we haven't seen you. We didn't know where you were. And now you've come back and said, God said, that I'm going to deliver, you're going to deliver the people out. Who should I say sent me? And God said, I am that I am. And if I can leave one thing in your mind this morning, He is still I am that I am. Hallelujah. The same yesterday, today, forever. I am the Lord, He said, I change not. I am that I am. Here in the 10th chapter of John, he says, I am. I'm from everlasting to everlasting. Some people have the idea that Jesus had His beginning when He was born of a virgin about 2,000 years ago. Don't you ever believe that? He was in the beginning with the Father. Hallelujah. In the beginning was the Word, and the Word was with God, and the Word was God. Jesus says, I am. I am. And when you begin to think about that today, it begins to sort of build up in your mind and in your heart who He really is. I helped preach the funeral. My dad was lying in a casket right here. And how many of this church have had funeral services right here? And a lot of times we look back and we say, He did this and He was this or whatever. You won't say that about Jesus. He's I am. I am now. He arose again. We're going to have that next Sunday, Easter Sunday. The grave could not hold Him. I am that I am. And when He says, I am the door, I like that last Sunday, or Sunday before last, whenever it was. I mentioned from the sixth chapter of John, the various things or names that Jesus, from the book of John, not the sixth chapter, the names that Jesus gave Himself when He said, I am, I am, I am. He said in one chapter, I am the resurrection and the life. In another chapter, He said, I am the way, the truth, and the life. In another chapter, He said, I am the vine. In another chapter, He said, I am the good shepherd. And He goes on in the book of John, I am, I am. Here we are 2,000 years on the side of the death and the resurrection of Jesus, and He's still the I am. Hallelujah, hallelujah. I'm preaching about a living Savior. I am. Ask Joyce if He's alive, if He heard, if He answered. Hallelujah. Hallelujah, hallelujah. I am, I am, I am. And finally, I'll wind down this morning. He ends up by saying, I am the door, the. A definite article, not one of many. I am the door. I am the entranceway. I am the only way in. How many are preaching something contrary to that this morning around the land? But I want to stay with the Bible. I want to preach the truth of God's Word. When Jesus says, I am the door. Not one of many, but the one door. You've heard in your lifetime all roads lead to Rome or all roads lead to London. And there might be one slither of truth in that statement. And I'll leave this with you because we spent some time in England and in London. But every major highway in England, every major highway in England goes to London. If you're in Scotland, coming south, he goes right to London, the major highway. If you're in Wales, over here in the western part of the state, of the country, you've got a highway that goes right to London. If you were where we were stationed at Lakenheath, there's a highway that goes right to London. In Norwich, they have a highway that goes to London. If you're in south, in Brighton-by-the-Sea, highway goes to London. But listen closely. That might be the case in England. But it's not that way, spiritually speaking. Every road doesn't lead to heaven. He's the way. Hallelujah. I am glad I found the way. I am glad I got on the right path. Can you imagine the misery that you had and I had when we were living in sin and we were like Brother Lou's daughter? Woke up this morning and wondered if I'd been left behind. That is a terrible thing. And I've lived that. I have experienced that in my life. I thought the Lord has come and I've been left behind. That's a terrible feeling. But isn't it good today to know when He comes, you're going. I am the door, and we've entered into the door, and we've come in, and we've supped with Him, and He with us, and we've enjoyed the blessings, and we're walking with Him, and we know His voice. Thank God, I came in the door. And what are you saying, preacher? If I can get it across, and I realize you believe what I'm preaching, but maybe some of your family members that you've talked with them, so many today are teaching, well, if I don't go this way, there'll be another way. Some people are saying, holiness is not for today. It was all right for grandma, and they lived that life, but it's not for today. Listen closely. If God required holiness 50 years ago, He requires it today. What do you mean, preacher? I'm meaning that we're going to enter the door. And to enter the door, we'll have to live the way He wants us to live. I am the entranceway. I am the door to the sheepfold. I am the only door to the sheepfold. And as we think about this moment for just a moment, one way to eternal life. In the 9th verse, He said, "By me, if any man enter, he shall be saved." And I'm going to close in a moment. Wind down. Now, I'd like to just give a testimony. I might not have been like some of you, or you might not have been like I was, but there were some times in my life as a sinner, I was miserable. Sometimes I thought I was having a good time, and I really believe I was in that sense of the word. But then there was other times when the teachings that I'd learned as a boy, and what my mama had told me and my daddy had told me, and what I'd heard the preacher preach, there were sometimes I was miserable. I might as well confess. I was lost. And I was headed for eternity, and I knew where I was going. God was dealing with my heart, and oftentimes I would push it aside. And I wouldn't say it out loud, but in essence I was saying, "Not today, God. Not today. Come back another time. Not now, God." How many times, and I'm going to wind up here, how many times my wife and I went to that Assemblies of God church in Mountain Home, Idaho, Sunday morning after Sunday morning after Sunday morning. And I can stand before you today and tell you that it was a good church. They were good people. We had a good pastor. He preached the truth. God's presence was real. And yet when the altar call time came, rather than walking down that aisle, we walked out because at 2 o'clock I had a ball game. Maybe another one at 6 that evening. And I believe, knowing, as much as I love to play ball, knowing that if the Lord were to come, I was lost. That's misery. If you've never been there, God bless you. Misery. Come home on vacation. Go to church with my parents. Listen to the preacher preach, and God dealing with my heart. Mama would write me a letter. I was in Japan for 2 years. Write me a letter talking about the goodness of God. And God would deal with my heart, but I pushed it aside. That's a hard way to live. And I thank God. I thank God of the depths of my heart. That one day, I came in the door. And so I'm going to stop there. Without my wife coming to the piano, I want to ask you some questions. If you have walked through that door, would you just say amen? If you know that your sins have been covered by the blood, you've been redeemed by the blood of the Lord, you've been saved by grace, why don't you just wave your hand towards heaven? Rejoice in the Lord and in the power of His might. Hallelujah. 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 Well, glory to God. Hallelujah. Thank you, Jesus. Thank you, Jesus. Hallelujah. 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 If you're saved this morning and your name is written down in glory and you're a child of the King, brother, you've got something to rejoice about. You've got something to thank the Lord for. Hallelujah. Sometimes I feel like running in the fire, younger I would. Well, hallelujah. Do you understand what I just said? Sometimes this thing gets all the way down to my feet. It's real, folks. I'm not here to put on. This is real. This is real. If you don't know the Lord, you need to know Him today. I am the door. Without any music today, without an altar call, without asking you to come around the altar, without asking you to come and stand with me, I'm going to ask you to stand right where you are. Will you do that? Stand up if you will. We've got enough to thank God for as long as we live. Spill over into the millennial reign and over into the eon of ages. God has blessed us and blessed us and blessed us. He's been good to us. And I'd like for you right where you are in your own way. Let's just give Him thanks. Let's just thank the Lord. Let's just worship God. Such a joyous step. I'm going to ask you to lead us. But everybody, would you just begin to thank the Lord for being good, for blessing your heart, for answering prayer, for meeting a need, for saving by grace. Hallelujah. Everybody worship God.